on your radio and online.
At home or on the road.
This is ABC Radio.
Have you ever shopped under the influence of alcohol? New research says you may well have. I don't know if it's the same for you, but drunk me is much more generous to me than sober me. Sober me knows that that packet of chips will mess with my diet and that those Italian leather boots that I found online won't make my life better, and the money is better used on boring things like food and bills. But drunk me knows that I deserve those chips and that I can work them off tomorrow and I will look amazing in those boots and they will complete me in a way that paying the bills won't. Professor David Kavanagh from QUT is a clinical psychology researcher who has focused much of his research on the treatment of alcohol misuse and other addictive behaviours. David, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much.
David, eBay says we're buying our makeup in the wee hours. Calvin Klein says we're browsing online after bedtime. And Finder.com says men are drunk buying food.
Yeah.
Why are we more likely to get click-happy on the shopping then?
Oh, well, that's what alcohol does. It just makes us more impulsive in general. So it's a function of the intoxication that we do, that we do impulsive things. We don't necessarily think rationally when we've had a bit to drink. The issue that we're dealing with here is that, you know, most people wouldn't be going out to one of the major stores in Brisbane, you know, pretty intoxicated and buying stuff. But when you're at home and you've got your iPad or your laptop or phone there and you can actually buy immediately, it's very easy to do it, and it's irreversible. Once you've bought it, it comes. One of the other things, of course, that happens when you drink enough is that you will find it hard to remember things afterwards sometimes, and so you may well find that you've got things arriving you didn't realise you had bought.
Is there, I mean, I know there wouldn't be a numeric value on this, but do we know how little or how much it takes for someone to be making decisions they wouldn't normally make?
It can happen on, you know, the effects of alcohol start from the first drink, but obviously it tends to really be kicking in once you've had a few drinks. And it will vary from person to person what that level is, so I'm not going to say that. But I think as your listeners can think back, most people who have had alcohol can think of at least one occasion when they'd done something that was a bit impulsive. It may not have turned out badly, but it could have turned out badly, you know, if it had kept going or if things had been a little bit different. You know, I think this is just one example of that, but an example that can really make a big difference to people's budgets.
It can. I'm speaking fairly lightly of this because when I think about it, I think that pair of stockings I bought or that eyeshadow that looked lovely at midnight or whatever else. So it's not a great deal of money that I'm thinking of, but that's not always the case.
It can be a much larger amount of money.
And that can be quite dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's some people who are really suffering as a result of this. Look, I think it's not the only impulsive thing that people do either. And I think it's really important to recognise, for example, you know, some of your listeners will have suicidal ideas. Not a good idea to have a lot of alcohol with that, because that does put you at more risk of actually behaving in a way that, you know, could harm yourself. And similarly, if you're somebody who has difficulty controlling your anger and, you know, you have been in situations where you've assaulted people before, the alcohol's going to make that harder for you to keep in control. It's not just the impulsivity there. The alcohol augments your emotions. So if you're feeling angry, you'll feel really angry on alcohol. So that's the problem there.
I've always wondered that, and I guess it's a little off topic, but I've always wondered that when I've seen people who routinely are badly behaved when they drink, as in they routinely get angry or for whatever reason, but the behaviour is unacceptable. I think, why do you keep doing that? It doesn't look like fun. But then I guess that's the nature of addiction or of impulse control.
But you don't – look, I talk to people about the Friday night, Saturday morning phenomenon. You know, Friday night, all you can think about is if you've had – you've been working hard all week you know, this, it'll just be a few drinks. You'll be fine. You'll be in control and it's going to be a good night and it won't be like last time. Saturday morning, you will never, ever, ever drink again, you know. So at the time that you're actually craving alcohol or anything else that you're tempted to do, all you can think about is the positive side. It's very hard to actually bring to mind the negative side of it. It's only when you experience those negative sides that you really regret it. So the challenge, I guess, for people when they're making a decision, particularly before they start using the alcohol, because it's harder to do it once you're drinking, but is to actually think through, how can I keep myself safe? So we've been doing some work with young people about what their refer to as the stupid line. And a stupid line is when our good night starts turning bad. And we developed an app with them about how to actually deal with that. But it's a more general principle that, you know, if we're going to be using a drug like alcohol, which is a dangerous drug, we need to think rationally about it and try to make sure that we are in a situation we're not going to do something really dumb. It's the same with driving, isn't it? So it's not a matter of making a decision whether to drive home after you're drunk. It's a matter of working out how you're going to get home before you go out.
Ask sober you, because drunk you may not know.
Yeah, it won't work.
My name is Kat Davidson. David Kavanagh is my guest. He is a clinical psychologist from QUT. So are you more on the academic side now, David, or are you also still with clients on a day-to-day basis?
I don't see clients myself anymore, but I supervise other people who do. And we're just finishing off a big alcohol trial that we've been doing that's been looking at how to develop motivation to be in charge of your alcohol and continue through with that.
Does that mean abstinence?
Not necessarily. It does for some people, and that is the best option for some people. But no, we help people to actually develop their own goals and work out what they want to do and support them with that. And we've been doing that on the phone nationally now, and we've got, almost 400 people, I think, in that trial. We're just about to break the code to find out what happened, so we'll know very soon.
That's exciting. Mm. So if you did, or if you were supervising a psychologist who was dealing with someone who did say they had some problems with shopping, that they were spending money that they weren't aware of, or for whatever reason it's a problem, when would you consider it to be the lead problem, if you know what I mean? Or is it always symptomatic of something more?
That's for them to... Oh, I see what you're saying. Is there something lying behind it?
I've done it once, all right, well, that was silly, don't do it again. Or is it, every night I go online and I need to buy new things?
That's everybody's call, isn't it? I mean, I think that the key thing we're talking about here is, sometimes things are turning out well. Mm. Other times, might be only one time, but it's a big time for you. You might think, this is the time that I need to do something about it. So what we try to do to help people to do is to decide... It's a bit like the stupid line thing, isn't it? When is it getting to a point where I feel I want to make a change? And that's up to them. We just create a situation where they can think that through for themselves. So we don't tell them that.
Oh, you not prescriptive?
No.
Let them come to that themselves.
Yeah.
How do you set healthy boundaries for yourself that drunk you will still pay attention to?
It's really hard, isn't it? Because the more you have, the less easy it is to adhere to that.
What are some of the tools you give people? I understand people are different. There's usually not a one-size-fits-all, but what are some of the options you can give someone?
Look, there's some really simple tips about drinking itself that can help you to stay in control. And they're ones that I find helpful. Like when you're going out, try to make sure that the first drink is not alcoholic. Notice, when you're sort of nibbling on the nuts and chips that, in fact, they're salty. The more salt you have, the more you're going to drink and the faster you're going to drink. Yeah, exactly.
The bar's done that to you on purpose. Tequila is a bad idea.
Yeah, that's right. And finding ways that can actually provide a way out that don't require a lot of thinking. So maybe, if you're out getting someone to give you a call or making a time that you're going to be meeting them so that it actually cuts the night to a level where you know that it's likely in that time that you're not going to have a lot to drink. So, really simple things like that you can do. Going out with other people so that they can you can actually keep each other safe. Similarly, if we're talking about shopping at home, trying to do something so it makes it harder for you to do it. So, find a way of not having it quite so possible for you to do immediately on the spur of the moment. So put it somewhere, make it harder for you to get to it.
Disconnect your PayPal account?
Yeah, yeah.
Or limit it. I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. If someone came to you and said that I'm worried about the amount that a partner shops, if it's something else, because sometimes you don't recognise your own behaviour is troubling, what sort of advice do you give to them?
Well, like any other financial expenditure, you have to work that out between you as to what is reasonable for each other to be doing. And to some extent, you can talk about that context, which in some ways might be less confronting because, it's really about our household budget. How can we keep this in control? Things are a bit problematic. What can we both do about this? And really, it's If you create an argumentative situation, it's not going to resolve it, is it? I mean, I think the really critical thing is to, yeah, there are times when you're going to say, look, that isn't acceptable to me, really. Helping the person to see for themselves what they feel is appropriate, and when, if they feel that there's a problem, if you do that in a way that's not judgmental, it's much more likely that they're going to actually get it.
No one likes a lecture.
No.
All right. Well, I thank you very much for your time, Professor David Kavanagh from QUT. He's a clinical psychology researcher who's focused much of his research on the treatment of alcohol misuse and other addictive behaviours. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Stay tuned to ABC Radio.
Anywhere, anytime.